informal discussions with the Jan Suchin at Thepthorin Hospital, Bangkok, May 2019. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, John, Nina, Mehta and Gong.
This is about the Nimitta Sutta in Anguttara Nikaya. It's called the Goldsmith. It talks about when a bhikkhu is devoted to higher mind, Adichitta, from time to time he should give attention to three marks, three Nimitta. The first one is from time to time he should give attention to the mark of concentration, Samadhi Nimitta. From time to time, to the mark of exertion, Pagaha Nimitta. And from time to time, to the mark of equanimity, Upeka Nimitta. If a bhikkhu devoted to Adichitta only attends to Samadhi Nimitta, his mind will veer towards laziness. If he only attends to Pagaha Nimitta, his mind will tend towards restlessness. And if he only attends to Upeka Nimitta, his mind will not be concentrated for the destruction of the deeds. But when a bhikkhu devoted to Adichitta gives attention to Samadhi Nimitta, Pagaha Nimitta, and Upeka Nimitta, his mind becomes malleable, wieldy, and so on, concentrated for the destruction of the taints. So I'm interested about this mention of Samadhi Nimitta, Pagaha Nimitta, Upeka Nimitta. Do you have any comments about this?
Everything appears as Nimitta for the five khandhas. So no question.
So there has to be Nimitta of Samadhi, Nimitta of
everything.
Any Dhamma.
Yeah.
And why does it particularly mention
anything? Otherwise, it's impossible to eradicate that idea of self if something is left.
Yes, any idea of selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Vietnam, we were talking about the five teja, the five fires. And afterwards I checked about it, so charana, teja, the fire of conduct or behavior, una, teja, the fire or the quality of concentration, punya, teja, the fire of merit, and dhamma, teja, the fire of dhamma.
We have to understand what it's meant by sila, with our citta. This cannot have any sila at all. So it's only the nama, reality, which goes on. The conduct of the namas in the day must be either kusala or akusala or apiyakata, like the arahata's citta. So when we talk about life and nama, not including rupa, because the rupa cannot be sila at all. So charana teja means sila. Yeah, kusala citta. And the second one,
guna teja.
Guna.
Here in this context, I think guna means concentration or samadhi.
Because it goes with every citta.
Yes.
But without sila, it cannot be guna. Yeah.
The wholesome concentration that eradicates the unwholesome.
These are the kusala, or the usefulness of kusala.
I think guna can have another meaning and another context.
Because it must be concentration when it develops. Otherwise, right understanding cannot have great or very good concentration to experience the characteristic of a reality.
And when we're talking about these five teja, so they are building on each other.
Right.
So first it must be kusala.
To understand life everyday life.
And then, so there has to be the wholesome sila for there to be the wholesome concentration. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is panya, there has to be the wholesome concentration.
Not just concentration, but it needs panya as well.
And then the fourth one, the punya.
Punya.
Referring to all kinds of meritorious deeds.
It means the path leading to enlightenment. Because charana can be the, what we are saying can be the second one, the charana, the kuna. Mm-hmm.
So there will be charana and kuna, which with it's without
with panya,
then it's not right. The path. So here it's charana, kuna, mm-hmm. panya, and then punya must be the path to enlightenment.
Yes.
So the panya has to be, is referring to the insight panya.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last
Maga.
Maga. So punya here specifically.
Yes. Leading to from sila and paccarana and kuna and panya and then punya. Otherwise, what about the sila, the charana? And the guna and in panya together will lead to the eradication, the moment of maka.
And then the last one is the dhamma.
The teachings of the Buddha. The teachings of the Buddha. Otherwise no one can know about reality right now. So covers all realities taught by Buddha.
So it's referring to all realities and the teachings of the Buddha. Because
reality is reality, no one knows. So from the beginning, the charana up to the maka depends on his teaching.
Are you familiar with the teja, five teja?
Because even there is a kusala right now, no one knows, and no one know how to have it eradicated. So all depends on his teaching, the teachings of the Buddha, or the teachings of the truth. Yes. Yeah. Like miracle, it's just like miracle, from ignorance to the eradication of all ignorance.
So is it like the power?
Yes, because it can burn up the ignorance and akusala dhamma. Nothing can do.
So would you translate it to fires or powers or?
Anything.
Yes.
In your own way, yes. In
but
your own language, yeah.
Thajan explained about the punya, teja. Punya is in maka. It's in the eight area maka.
Because only punya is not enough. Until it leads to punya, the eradication of akusala. Otherwise, it must be the same. But from panya, on and on and on and on, it becomes punya.
We had a discussion recently on Dharma study group about primary and derived rupas. One person doesn't like the translation derived rupas, but I think it just means dependent on the primary rupas.
It depends on the language.
On the language.
Yeah. You can change if you like. Mm-hmm. Not necessary to follow the book.
No, we can give up.
Because we cannot have the word like the reality is, like vitaka in Pali. And the Thai just think about only thinking. So they think that what go on thinking and you understand the reality. Yeah.
Describe the
So use your own way.
Yes.
have that on, and then they don't understand that even in the sense store process, the tapa arises after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting.
And before seeing as well. Right.
When we have a context, so usually we will say vitaka is touching or mounting or striking. But when we have a sutta which says something like katama cha, katamo cha, hikoe, sama sankapo, and then it talks about nekama, sankapo, abhyabhata, sankapo, and abhihinsa sankapo. But then it's difficult to translate it as touching or striking when it's talking about nekama and abhihinsa and abhiyapada.
In different aspects.
Then it seems like it's speaking,
So what is nekama?
Renunciation.
Yeah. Any time of kusala. Yeah.
So I think that when it's referring to nekama sankapo, nekama vitaka.
And it means that, right, letting go with panya, which understand the true nature of reality. With understanding. For example, if one does not understand the value of the teachings at all, one doesn't want to hear it. So nekampa is any moment when you see the use of reality, which is kusala.
So always without understanding, not just any moment.
No. Otherwise it cannot be nekama. But when there is understanding, whatever one does is nekama. No matter it's dana or sila or whatever, listening, discussing. Without understanding as root or the motive of such doing. Even hearing, see, if one just wants to understand the words and the meaning, what about reality right now? That is not nekama. But when there's the understanding better and better about no one, no self, so hearing with this kind of understanding as the roots can bring more and more about the nekama. So it all depends on panya when it's parami.
And back to this, your point about the primary and the derived roots together. So for example, the sound that is being made now is conditioned by the primary rupas that arises, but it's also conditioned by citta, which conditions that.
It doesn't matter what group is conditioned by kamma or citta or uttu or ahara, but there should be the understanding that what is seen is not the primary rupa, because no one can separate that which is seen from the primary rupas.
And we know that what is seen has been conditioned by the primary rupas, and it's but that whole group is also being conditioned by
citta or kamma,
citta or kamma,
uttu, ahara.
And because it's the physical object is in each group. So when we say that the colour, for example, is conditioned to be the way it is, dependent on the primary rupas, the earth quality and so on that has conditioned it. But actually this is just one condition, because the condition that's conditioned the
many rupa, conditions.
Many different conditions.
Like kamma, condition the seeing, hearing, so
and the entire,
like the sahachata, pachya, anyamanya, pachya. We can think about the pachya when we understand each pachya.
Right. Well, I think this question arises because sometimes question is asked, what makes different psalms different, for example. And yeah. The answer sometimes given is, well, because the other rupas in the Galapa condition the psalm. But if not, they're not the only condition. They're not all conditions.
What conditions are?
Depending, sometimes it's jitta, sometimes it's jitta.
So they are different.
Yeah.
So, for example, if someone says that the variety in the rupas, the difference in intensity of the different the derived elements, for example, is because of the difference in the primary rupas, but this is just one condition, and then there are others, and because of this difference in the intensity of the different rupas, there is a difference in the opposite, the nimitta upyanjana. Are there details of these different kinds of rupas?
But no one can know.
No,
at all.
But the different colors are conditioned by the primary rupas, the great elements. But this is not all the conditions. This is because also there
more than that.
More than that. So when we say the four great elements cause the nature, it's like it's part of the cause, because other forms.
Because even the four elements, four great elements, is are conditioned by different conditions.
This is why in the car, like the Tom was saying,
but why do we have to learn?
Just to really understand how to these different
better and better, that there is no me, no self, no one at all.
Yeah. Khun Sara and Bong said the Pachaya is very difficult, and you said it's about now. Could you explain more? Yeah, could you explain more?
When Ajahn was talking about Upanishya Gotra, and Om said the Pachya is very easy, and I think, but it's now, like now, Upanishya Gotra, now like, we consider about physical objects, so that understanding gets used to this only visible object that's seen at this very moment. And this is Upanishya Gotra by Bhagavatu Upanishya Pachya, then the Panya develops and grows by getting used to the idea that actually it's just visible objects seen, not a flower, not a banana, not a person. But if we don't hear about the different realities or about these different elements, there's no way to eradicate that, the idea that it's something seen, someone who is seeing. So whatever we hear about, such as the condition, otherwise we always think it's something in the world or something to study or something for later development, but actually it's just about what we're talking now about, the different elements and the derived elements and the ideas of sitting on seat. It's actually now, it's moving.
Yes, you see yourself.
You're going to the summit.
Before, when I said many people wish to show their appreciation for all the Dharma you have shared, and you said, actually, there's no me.
I know, but I appreciate very much too. I appreciate Kusala Dhamma, because actually there's no one. And appreciation is enjoying the other's good deed.
A good deed, and at the same time one can appreciate actually no one there.
There's no one. That's why whatever we read, there should be the understanding of no one who is listening.
And this friend's question is about nimitta. We've given many quotes and talked about sankhara nimitta many times and given the analogy of the fire stick and so on. And he says that amongst all the quotes that we've given from the suttas and the Abhidhamma and the commentaries and sub-commentaries, there are none that state definitively that there is a nimitta of simple sense objects, or that sense objects are represented by nimitta or by signs with and without details. Because usually in the text, your comments about nimitta, it's referring to the mind or mental formations that have a general appearance, a nimitta, with or without details that can be thought about and learnt and subject to grasping. He says, with all these different quotes, there are none which just simply refer to the nimitta of sense objects like visible object or sound or...
Without Dhamma, can there be nimitta?
No, so all these other ones, there couldn't be these nimitta if there was not Dhamma. But it seems that when the texts refer to nimitta, they don't seem to be referring just to the sense objects themselves, such as sound or visible object.
How can there be nimitta at moment of seeing? Because just one moment of seeing and one moment of...
It has to be many, many moments.
All the way from hearing until developing, until realizing the first order, vipassanayana. What appears is nimitta.
Always nimitta.
Only nibbana doesn't have nimitta.
Sound or visible object, there have to be many, many, many. But why don't we find many references in the text to nimitta of visible object or sound, for example?
Because they don't say that how come the nimitta? How come to be nimitta?
Yes. Because of the continuous arising of those dhammas.
Tripitaka says that all five khandhas are nimitta.
So that includes all of them. Anything else on that?
Can we finish? Yes.
And what do they think?
They think that the references to nimitta are usually to, like, for example, the objects of concentration or nimitta of a
building. In all dhammas which appear, must be nimitta.
I think what their question is, we understand that when dhamma is experienced by awareness, for example, it's the nimitta of the dhamma.
Even now.
Yes, even now. And they say there's nowhere in the text which says that specifically.
Can the awareness be aware?
Yes, but they are asking us for a reference of where it says this in the Tipitaka, and so we don't have a reference to give them.
Or you can ask Kunkampan anywhere to find out for you, because it's there for sure. And for the truth, without reality, without Dhamma, there cannot be nimitta, because nothing arises. So only Nibbana has no nimitta. For example, the image of anything is also nimitta, but there must be reality, and each one cannot be experienced by only one reality. When what is experienced is a group, many, 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 to form up the nimitta.
Like in the Sambuddha Marga, we find one or two very short, brief references to Sankara nimitta, but it's very brief and Veda.
Sanyana nimitta, because actually one lives in the world of sanya nimitta. At the moment of open up one's eyes until the end of the day or night.
And if, for example, when we refer to the fire stick analogy and talk about the nimitta of countless visible objects, which can be understood by panya, if it's not the, usually we say if it's not the first or second mind or process, then it must be concept that is experienced.
But many mind or processes now? Just one?
No, many.
So what appears must be nimitta.
But
But when it appears in the mind or process, because
even touching, it seems that so very short, but actually how many moments of becoming an object of hardness.
But when we talk about, in, for example, in the mind or process, we say the object of the first mind or process is reality, but actually it must be nimitta of reality, nimitta of this object.
And also the nimitta of seeing.
And the nimitta of seeing, it has to be nimitta because the seeing has fallen away, and it has to be after many, many...
is understood.
One other comment is, like we know, sanya marks at each moment and marks and remembers at each moment, but actually it depends on vitaka, not sanya, what is thought about. And sanya marks and remembers at each moment. Actually it makes a mark and remembers at each moment. But the thinking now depends on vitaka, because sanya remembers everything.
Yeah, without sanya, how can vitaka think?
But usually we say that because sanya has remembered everything, it depends on...
with each moment, and also with vitaka, but they are different.
And because of nimitta, sanya can recognize whether it's... Paramatta Dharma or Panyati, depending on what is marked and remembered at that moment.
Until Panya, then you can understand Sanya as a son. That's why it takes how long to letting go all the five khandhas as I.
So when, for example, this comment that you made before, that it depends on vitaka, not Sanya, what is... thought about because sanya remembers everything.
Actually, vitaka is not just thinking.
No. The touching, the marking. Yes, yes. So actually it depends on, when it's, we said it depends on vitaka, not sanya, but it really and depends on
sanya for vitaka. Without sanya, vitaka cannot think about anything. The sanya arises with ishita, so it marks before that.
And there's nimitta immediately, instantly. This friend asked us, could you ask Ajahn the question I had as a follow-up to the question whether a Dharma has or leaves a nimitta? If we now say that a Dharma only leaves a nimitta, for example, we discussed that we cannot really say a Dharma has a nimitta, a Dharma doesn't have anything, but because of Dharma there is nimitta.
Dharma is nimitta.
Dharma itself is nimitta. And if there was no Dharma, there would be no nimitta. Would then a Dharma that is not experienced by anyone also leave a nimitta? For example, if we talk about visible object in the wood that's not experienced at all, but it still has its nimitta regardless of whether it's the visible object.
Say a sound that is no one hears. This is the question.
There is no nimitta.
Yeah, the nimitta still has nimitta, but it's not experienced.
Because not just one single reality arises.
Right.
So there are many together to form up the nimitta of a tree or whatever sound.
But if no one experiences, if there's no,
it's still arising and falling
still
away.
Still arising and falling away.
Yeah. It depends on whether you take it for nimitta or not, but you cannot change the characteristics.
But we only talk about nimitta in the context of dhammas that are being experienced.
That person does not experience, the other can experience.
Yes.
The insect.
The
deva. So every condition, reality. And so he said, for example, would...
There is no experience at all. Nothing there.
It's like saying if no one sees a mirage, is there still a mirage? Well, it's a meaningless question because it's a visual thing.
It doesn't mean that only the person who sees can see nimitta. The other can experience it elegantly.
Yes, so this leaving a nimitta is confusing because, as you say, the nimitta is the aspect of Dharma. It is the...
Actually, nimitta itself cannot be real without Dharma because it's conditioned by the arising and falling away of Dharma. When you call it a tree, it must be nimitta.
We had a bit of discussion earlier, and for example, one might say that nimitta is the sign by which a dharma, that's to say, the characteristic, is experienced or known. If there's no, it's known.
The sign, by which it's known. That's nimitta, right? Nimitta is a sign.
Anyati is that the object makes it to be known.
Okay, so it's the panyati of the nimitta when it's made, which made known. But there is the nimitta which is experienced. And the anubhyanjana, this was a comment that was made, is the detail that is processed by the javana cittas. For example, when there's a concept of people and things or meaning of words spoken, but then again, if it's made known, it's actually the panyati. But the nimitta, if it's even before it's made known, the nimitta and anupyanjana. Anupyanjana is just an aspect of the nimitta. So even if that rupa, those rupas in the forest are not experienced, still there is the nimitta and anupyanjana of the realities before they're made known or experienced at all.
It's something, it's panyati.
Another friend had a question about old age, which is a good topic, and he was asking which dharmas, and a friend said that we use the word old age, but these are conventional terms reminding us of the reality now. We can say, well, seeing is aging now, hearing is aging. But when specifically we're referring to old age in the texts, which realities are we referring to? Jivitindriya or, yes, for old age, for
Japanese life.
So really we are referring to, I mean, this is just a concept. What reality are we referring to? Just different nama.
Without nama, or it can be even rupa. Can we say how long it's there?
So countless, very long, long period of namas and long period of rupas. So from birth until...
Because each one arises and falls away.
So for example, in Paticchasamuppada, when we refer to jara, it's just referring to the, because we know we're only referring to Paramatta Dharma, so it's just referring to all those namas and rupas in that lifetime. So
there's no old age. But when we talk about age, it means talking about the time which passed from moment to moment.
Yes.
How long?
But
is the sun? It doesn't look like it is old at all.
By old age, it's just referring to the rising and passing away of all those particular namas and rupas during that lifetime. This topic actually refers to a commentary note in which is often quoted in Abhidhammata Sangaha, that is edited by Bhikkhu Bodhi, and it's referring to objects which are very great, great, slight, very slight. Now, the commentary itself says that with regard to very great and so on, it refers to the
presentation of the object that comes into range after one conscious moment has passed and lasts for 16 conscious moments, then it's a very great object experienced by those 16 cheetahs. And that which does so after two or three cheetahs have passed and lasts only for 14 or 15 cheetahs is great, and so on. And one that only lasts...
What is meant by great? I don't know the great object.
Yeah.
Maybe the primary...
Of presentation of the object of appearing through the very great, great, slight, very slight at the five doors and through the mind door, clear and unclear.
We have to find out what is meant by great.
Yeah. In the commentary, they define the... We're going to find the text... They define the great and very great as referring to when the object is experienced in that sensed or process, whether it has impinged at the very beginning of that process of cheetahs, or whether it has only impinged so that only it's only experienced by two or three cheetahs at the end. So this is how they define whether it's very great, great or slight.
See that it depends on the processes.
On the time of impingement in the process.
Many, many times it's
exactly.
Great.
It's great, exactly. So when it's impinged early. So this is how the commentary refers to whether it's a great object or not. But the way that it's commonly interpreted and the commentary that the translators give refer to that whether a large or gross visible object is present at the eye door, the sensitive matter of the eye is weak, or the object impinges on the eye after it's passed its prime, or the light is dim, the object won't make a distinct impression, thus will be slight or very slight. So instead of just talking about when it impinges in the process, they also add if the eye sense is weak or the light is dim, for example. Are these factors too?
Because in the Tipitaka, in Thai, it is appear well.
Yes.
Without right understanding, it never be appear well at all, like touching. So I don't know whether what's meant by great
think,
or
I
what.
I don't think this has anything to do with appearing well, because appearing well is referring to when there's understanding, because of these extra notes and commentaries they give that can cause confusion.
The extra is that which is in the commentary itself.
It's here, but it's lengthy.
We just want to find out what the... Okay, the very great object, what is it? Upada titi banga vasena kanatayam eka chitta kanam nama. Yeah, so they're just talking about when it arises. Rupa dhammanam ayu. Bahu, great, bahu chitta kana titani. I need to look at the Pali
yeah,
more.
Maybe we
yeah.
can prepare it for next time.
Yeah, we'll prepare it for next time.
Wrong understanding can translate or understand that.
I need to find the I'll find the Pali for this.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be Mahayana and so on.
I know, this is why I looked it up, because it wasn't clear to me. The development of insight requires both encountering good friends and hearing the Dhamma appropriately explained, we know that, and also the ability to recognize and appreciate the importance of what is heard. In the case of the former, encountering good friends and hearing the Dhamma appropriately explained, it is mental deeds of insight rather than deeds of other kinds of kusala, such as generosity, from previous lifetimes that will condition such results. Can we say this, for example, now, associating with the Dhamma, listening to the Dharma properly explained has to be a result of, we know there are many conditions, but the karma that conditions the hearing now, does it have to be deeds of insight or any kind of kusala, or we can't say?
Talking about just insight?
Talking about just insight.
Or general.
For example, hearing the Dharma now, can we say that it has to be a result of kusala karma that is not just giving, for example, but has to have been the previous development of insight, that kind of karma, to bring this result?
I think there must be very clear understanding of Dhamma, which can know what is what. For example, anyone who hasn't heard the teachings at all, but have such, is it possible? Because hearing needs understanding.
Yes.
Not just karma. Good friend and
So many conditions involved, and we know there has to be the accumulation to appreciate.
People forget that once one read the teachings, there must be the understanding.
Yes.
Otherwise it's
useless
at all. Just quote this doesn't help one to have less clinging to the idea of self. So the right way is understanding Dhamma as no self, like there is no me. And read this, it will bring more and more understanding of there is no me, there is no one, there is nothing.
And we know that it is the understanding that's important, but even the condition to just hear it, there are many karmas involved that have been accumulated.
There must be considering the truth. This is more important.
Yes.
Because the karma will bring one to hear the teachings.
Yes.
But it depends on the accumulation, yes, whether there's panya or
and
not.
And that karma that brings one to hear the teachings, like even a dog might be brought to hear the teachings. We have no idea what kind of karma it was in the past to...
The seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are the result of karma. But after that, the accumulation of understanding or not understanding is there. So the most important thing is keep in one's mind that just to understand reality as no self. So one read with more and more understanding. But if it urges the thinking of self, one read it with wrong understanding.
So the important point is not actually the association or the opening the book or going to the foundation library, because
understanding
requires considering understanding.
And keep the idea, the truth in mind. No me, no I.
So the effect of karma is very small, just the moment of actually hearing and... That's it.
Jitas and the vipaka, see? Only that. And after that, not vipaka.
Considering. And we can't say for that one moment of vipaka, we have no idea what kind of karma there was in the past.
Getting back to great, the sixfold presentation of objects should be understood as follows. At the five sense doors, it is either very great, which is Ati Mahantang, great Mahantang, slight Paritang, or very slight Ati Paritang. And at the mind door it is clear Vibhutang and obscure Avibhutang. So this is the presentation of objects.
What is great?
Well, it goes on to explain, I won't read it all out, the conclusion is the terms great object and slight object, etc., indicate not the size of the object, but the number of process jittas, viti jitta, that arise from the moment the object enters the avenue of a sense door until the moment of the presentation of the object to consciousness ceases.
It means numerous.
Yeah, numerous process jittas. experiencing the object, really.
And what was greater, the word for great again?
Mahantang, M-A-H-A-N-T-A-M with a dot.
It's Indriya, it's all right. Indriya. Because the eye yes. is Indriya.
Right.
And yes. the citta is Indriya. Yes.
Well, people think that it depends on the Indriya, the eye sense, and whether the light is dim. But actually, this great Mahatam just refers to how many processed cittas experience it.
That's why we cannot just translate directly, but we have to understand.
The part which, when I read, was with regard to very great, the presentation and object that comes into range after one conscious moment, and it talked just entirely about the number of cheetahs that experience it, just that.
And that can be understood.
Just
great
only to the number of cheetahs that experience it.
Okay.
The duration of material phenomena consists of 17 such mind moments. The five sense objects enter the avenue of the five doors at the stage of presence when one of several mind moments have passed.